You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 598, recorded for April 30th, 2019. Digital Health and Wellness. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today, we are joined on the show by Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota, to talk about digital health and wellness, Chapter 8 of our Faithfully Connected book that we've been going through each month. I'm going to be talking about some of the things to watch out for as we now live in this digital world, including things like eye strain and blue light, but certainly addiction and absorption and all the things that maybe are things we hadn't anticipated happening now that we're in this digital age, but also some very positives that come out as well. So I think you're going to enjoy that conversation. It's also MLC Day, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We have tips, picks, ministry resources, community feedback about live streaming, all kinds of other good stuff with Rachel. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is 598 episode, that is, recorded for April 30th, 2019. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good morning, Mr. Spriggs. Happy to be joining you and also happy to have a classroom technology correspondent joining us. That would be Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College. Welcome, Rachel.
Well, thanks for having me again, everyone.
These are our favorite episodes, at least mine, because I think, and probably for our listeners too, because they get to hear a few more voices other than mine's, certainly. But Rachel, we really appreciate you taking the time, because I know it's probably a busy time of year on the Hill there.
You know, there really is a lot going on, but I am happy to take the time and chat with you.
Excellent. We're happy too, because our EdTech focus this whole podcasting season actually was a suggestion by you. We are looking at a book called Faithfully Connected, and it has been something that you've used in your classroom there at MLC.
That's correct. I teach teaching with technology, which is required of all our education students, and we've used this book in that class to kind of jumpstart a bunch of questions, not so much about, you know, the ins and outs of how to use things, but the why and philosophy behind it and, you know, how they can use that technology in their classroom to help further the spiritual lives of themselves and their students.
Excellent. And this month in particular, we're nearing the end of the book. We're focusing on Chapter 8, which is titled Digital Health and Wellness, a timely topic, I think. You know, I was kind of reflecting a little, this whole digital revolution kind of happened to us over the last 10 to 15 years, and now we're seeing and feeling and learning more about the effects of it on us, even physically and mentally. And I think that's what this chapter is really focused on.
Yeah, it can kind of be, you know, a little scary. We actually, I don't take this book in order in class, and this is one of the first chapters we talk about. And by the time we're done with this and a few other topics, I usually tell my students, so by this time you might think I don't actually like technology, because if you look at just all the health issues that they say technology can cause, and you know, with both mental and physical health, I think some of it is a little scary, and I think we really need to be aware of exactly what we're doing with technology.
So I'm just curious, Rachel, as you teach this to college-age students, what do they buy into this? Is this something that they can relate to and resonates with them? Or what's their reaction when you teach this?
I think it's a little bit different depending on the students' experience with technology. Some of them have been so engrossed with it and are just as addicted to their phones as I am that, you know, it's a, yeah, we know that there are some issues, but also, you know, we've been using it for so long. Here we are. What are, you know, going backwards is hard. But then I also find there are students who specifically are staying away from technology because of the health issues. And that is a little refreshing to me, but also can be, we need a balance is really where it comes down to, that there are some great benefits for technology, especially in the classroom. And like anything, too much of it is bad. So where do we find that balance and make sure that, we're using technology in a way that's helpful and not harmful?
Right. But then again, obviously you mentioned balance, but clearly to be a college student today, you need it to learn. You're using those tools as you should. So you're introducing it to them and I would assume requiring them in many cases to use it, right?
Yeah, especially, I mean, in my class, we can't get away with teaching without technology. It doesn't work. But I always like to point out, you know, we can do it with technology, but that doesn't mean the traditional way of doing it is wrong. You know, we can do art projects using Google Draw, but we should still have our crayons, and we can figure out math problems using virtual manipulatives, but don't get rid of all your cool blocks and teddy bear counters.
Right. And you're kind of in a unique situation because you're not only, you know, concerned about their digital health and wellness, but, you know, they're going to take this into their own classrooms and, you know, somewhat be required to, and hopefully would preach the same message.
Exactly. And some of the health and wellness things are even a little more concerning for younger students.
Right.
Because they're being inundated with it from such an earlier age that we're not entirely sure what all those long-term effects are. So being very mindful that our uses are purposeful.
Yeah, so looking at this chapter, our conversation really parallels. They definitely start off by examining the benefits and the cautions and talking about that balance. But then they shift into a little bit of a different way of looking at it, in that you can categorize your technology consumption in one of two ways, basically. They call it reflection versus absorption, or communication versus entertainment. Another way to say it is creating things versus just consuming things. All of those kind of hint at the same thing, and that is that if you're mindlessly consuming, that's especially where the dangers kind of get introduced.
And I think that's a big consideration when you're talking about how do I use technology in my classroom. Are we just sitting in front of a video, or are we creating the video? Are the students becoming, you know, just staring at the screen all day, or is it making them think and problem solve and work together? Because technology can definitely help in all of those ways, but can also very easily be turned into something that you just sit and passively consume, which, you know, my Netflix queue can definitely tell you how much I passively consume technology. But that's not what we want for our education uses.
One word that's not used in those terms that you shared, Sally, is addiction. And that, I think, would fall obviously on the absorption side. And we've dealt with that. We've talked about that in relation to this book and otherwise. But that's really what it ultimately could lead to. You're so absorbed by the technology, you really can't, you know, you need a fix. You need to, you know, your life is not complete now without it. And that's obviously a problem. The good news is that there's all kinds of technologies out there that really serve that reflective, communicative, creative process. I think specifically of tools like Minecraft, which, you know, somebody, an outsider, might look at that and say, well, that's just a game. That's on the other end of the spectrum. That's an addictive, you know, absorbing entertainment tool, but not so, right?
Exactly. I think a tool like Minecraft can lead people to create things. I remember when my boys first got introduced, I guess there's a way to play it where you're battling things versus just creating. And I remember that they were creating things like a scale model of our church, and they had like pews inside and things like that. It was just really impressive, the things that they could build and create. It is all on the computer screen. There's nothing that they're manually building or whatever, but it does give them the ability to be creative.
Another tool that I really like, they're called Osmos, and attaches to an iPad. I think I've used it as a pick of the week in the past, possibly, but it marries virtual manipulatives with physical manipulatives with the virtual world in an iPad, where you're one of my favorite games is kind of like Diner Dash, if you've ever played that one, where you're, you know, serving your customers in a cafe. And this one's a pizza one, but you have the physical pizza pieces in front of you. And so you have to build the pizza, and then the characters pay you, and you have fake money there, and you have to give them actual change. So even though it's a virtual game, you're using actual pieces in front of you, where I think that's a area that needs to be explored a little more, is how can we use technology while still holding on to the value of actual physical items.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, you mentioned your Netflix queue a little bit ago. I think that brings to mind the importance of practicing, you know, what we preach, and I think that's why you mentioned it, that, yeah, we all have this challenge, but also the importance of the fact that, you know, we are modeling behavior that is caught by our kids or those people who look up to us. So, you know, I think that's always something to keep in mind, that, you know, if parents are telling their kids, you know, don't use your phones or put your phone down and at the dinner table or whatever, that they're that also has to be practiced by the big people in the room.
I think of that when I go out with my friends and, you know, I'm telling my students, hey, you should put your phones away and actually talk to real people. And then what do I catch myself doing when I'm out with real people?
Right.
Pulling out my phone. Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right that we need to show what we want our students to do.
Yep. So we have kind of had this conversation in the past, Martin, and talking about the effects of technology on our brains. Back a few seasons ago, we studied or reviewed the book The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. And I'm going to throw a link in the show notes to that conversation. It was over a season, so there's several podcasts dedicated to that. But a good book to review or pull out and reread if you haven't already or whatever. It definitely gets into a lot of these things and the effect of technology on our brains, our mental and physical and ultimately spiritual lives.
Anything else on this topic? Tools, other things that are helpful in this discussion?
Well, I think for us working folk, who have to stare at screens all day because that's where all our work is, I found the 20-20-20 rule to be pretty valuable, where you take a 20-second break every 20 minutes and look 20 feet away. I'm lucky enough to have a nice window where I can view the music center and see all the students going to choir and music lessons and such. But that's important for us too. And standing desks can be really helpful. I recently got some blue light blocking film on my glasses and actually saw an improvement as far as headaches and eye strain when I started using those. So I think some preventative measures can be helpful as well.
Good tips. I'll also make mention that at the end of each chapter in Faithfully Connected, they include classroom lesson plans as well as catechism lesson plans. And I think both of them kind of focus on working with the students to help them be more aware of how much technology time they have and maybe having them craft a healthy technology statement so that they, you know, they're part of what is healthy and examining that and then kind of committing to keeping things in the right balance.
Very good. So just a reminder again, this is Chapter 8 of Faithfully Connected, Digital Health and Wellness. And this book is available, I think, both digitally and good old-fashioned paper on Amazon. And hopefully in the very near future, we're going to have a chance to maybe talk with one of the authors even.
Or even both of them. We have Ben Bush awesome. And Jake Hollitz lined up to record an interview with us as we wrap up the book next month, looking at the last chapter. So
nice.
We look forward to that.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, let's go on to our Wells Now segment, special day.
It is. We're recording on April 30th, but we actually release the next day, which would be May 1st, which would be MLC Day. Martin Luther College celebrates once a year a day for prayers, sharing, and giving to MLC. And we just wanted to give a special shout out to MLC, especially to one of our favorite professors, Rachel Feld, and the work that she does there, and just encourage everyone to enjoy a happy MLC Day.
So MLCday.com is the place to go to get involved, and there's all kinds of resources there.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. And you certainly can follow, especially their Facebook page just has a ton of great posts all day long on MLC Day that just get you so excited about the work that's done there and the teachers and pastors that come out of there. It's a huge blessing to our Synod.
Important work. Yeah.
So wonderful day to have, and I'm so thankful that so many schools and churches are willing to just spread the message of what MLC is and what we do. And I remember getting my call and being really surprised that so many parents didn't know how I managed to get from Colorado to teaching in a Wells school in Wisconsin. And it's, you know, the mission of MLC to get our pastors and teachers prepared for our classrooms and congregations. So this is a great way to get our mission shared.
Raise awareness, for sure.
Yeah, great dedication on the campus and on the part of those kids getting through the system and out in the field, too. So nice. All right, let's move on to our Picks of the Week segment, where we kind of highlight something that we found useful in our ministries or personal lives that we'd like to share. Rachel, you have anything to share this week?
I do. So I recently downloaded an app called Life Cycle, and I have been using its partner app, Sleep Cycle, for a while to kind of, you know, see how long I'm sleeping and check and see if it's good sleep and stuff like that. Life Cycle goes a step further, and it's maybe a little creepy because it tracks where I am all the time, but I'm okay with that. And you get a cool ring at the end of each day that shows where you've been, and then you can attach an activity to those locations. So it can show me, you know, how long I've been working, how long I was sleeping, how long I was at home, commute times, how long I spent with friends. And then it takes those things and you can see a week view and a month view and eventually a year view to really see, you know, where I'm spending my time and where, I guess, you know, where your time is. That's where your priorities are. So I found it pretty helpful so far.
Excellent.
Not too creepy.
Not too creepy, even though it knows a lot about you, huh?
Yeah, my phone knows where I am all the time anyways,
yeah,
so I'm okay with it.
With me.
Sally, what do you got?
My turn next, and I have a different app to highlight, but similar. It's called Moment, less phone, more real life, and there are versions for iOS and Google Play. And the Moment app does track your screen time. It gives you a count of how many times you pick up or turn on your phone, and there are some premium features, including coaching and family time, where you can get more of a perspective of your whole family, and your family can invoke rules and things even upon you. So it looks to be a good way to maybe at least get a vision of how much time you're spending. And, you know, we've tried different things in our family, and maybe it's not something you want to use forever, at least at that detailed of a level, but maybe it's enough for you to do regular check-ins or whatever to get a feel for how everybody's time is on their devices. It is, you know, for your phone, so I would love it if someone has a similar recommendation for actual screen time on your laptop or whatever, but this looks to be a good app, and it's nagging me a little these days. I have it installed, so I guess we'll follow up and see how it goes for both Rachel and I with our new tracking apps.
Yeah, I think I was, as you were talking about this, I was thinking of the Screen Time app that's available built in now
through
iOS. On iOS, mm-hmm. right? But I don't know if there's always an Android equivalent. So this is on both sides. Plus, I think maybe one of the differences here is the coaching side. It does. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Screen Time app is more than just giving you raw data. This kind of is your little buddy, you know, that
right.
says, hey, maybe you got to think about this or next steps and those kinds of things. So
yeah, I was doing a little reading about it, and they used to have an app that would turn off or limit your access to the phone. You could say, I only want 2 hours a day or whatever it is, and it would enforce that. But now they've kind of shifted the mentality of it, and they have goals, so you can set goals, and then it nags you. It doesn't turn things off necessarily, but it nags you. And I just have to throw in a little known fact about Moment. I actually have met the developer of this app. It's a really popular app.
Really?
But he's a full-time RVer.
Is that right?
So, yeah, Moment is allowing him to be a virtual running his business.
That's cool.
So, yeah, little side note.
Very nice. All right. Well, my pick of the week has nothing to do with necessarily tracking your time, but it does have everything to do with podcasting. In fact, it's a tool that we're using this very moment. It's called Cast. Cast is a web-based podcast recording tool. It's at tryca.st, T-R-Y-C-A.st. And it allows you to record, edit, and publish and host, I guess, your podcast. We use it for shows where we have guests, like Rachel, where she logs into the site and it says, hey, can I use your microphone and speakers? And the guest allows that to happen. And through the web, it begins to record the microphone. So it records all the speakers or all the people on the call or in the app. And then it records it locally and then uploads it to the server. So it's actually a little bit better than some of the tools that kind of record in the cloud, where it's actually much more reliable because it does record locally and then uploads. And then once everything is done, the podcast is over, then the editor can be used to manipulate the WAV files and add other sound effects or trailers or whatever. And then finally, they have an option to, you know, take it all the way to the end where you can actually publish the podcast, and they have a hosting service for that that you can use. I looked around, and we've tried a bunch of different ones like this, and I think I've never found one that I could reliably say, hey, this is kind of foolproof, but we really have had zero problems with this. It records to different syncs, or to different, it syncs to different audio, so you can do track one, track two, track three, and then you can download individually, or you can blend them all together, and There is a free piece to this, and I think it is up to, I don't have it in front of me. Oh, here it is. Free for 1 month, and that's their hobby plan, and that gives you a limited amount of minutes. We do their month, or their, I'm sorry, the hobby plan is the next one up, and that's $10 per month. That's the one outside of free, and that gives you 10 hours of recording time per month, unlimited editing and mixing, unlimited hosting, and one RSS feed, which I think would be good for most podcasters out there. So just a good tool that works, you know, as advertised. There's not a big learning curve with this either. It's fairly straightforward, and that's why we like it for our guests to use. So it's pretty easy for them to just click on a link. You schedule it, and they get an automated email. They just click the link, and away we go.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to pipe in with. You stole my thunder.
Sorry.
But I kind of coordinate a lot of those interviews, and it used to be really hard to get them into Google Hangouts.
Yeah, you had to have a Google account, a little bit of training on how to do that.
And no matter how hard we tried, we'd end up with the link wasn't quite working right, mm-hmm. and I'd have to email them a link at the last second and things like that. And this has just been really solid in that regard. I usually tell people it helps if you're wearing headphones, so we don't get any feedback or, double recording of our audio. And then, they need a microphone. But other than that, it's been super simple, and we really haven't run into any snags, knock on wood.
Very good. Rachel, you're still there, right?
I am still
here. So it's still working.
It is. And you're absolutely right. It's super simple. I just click the link and put on my headphones, connect my mic, and that's it.
And then it uploads. When you hang up, it's done and you don't have to do anything. So send us anything, et cetera. So good. Ministry resource time.
And it kind of goes with the theme of our show today. Just learned about a new course offering from Google's Applied Digital Skills. Maybe rewind a little bit. We've talked about Applied Digital Skills on the podcast before. I think maybe it was a pick of the week for me a year or so ago. But it's basically Google's attempt to teach and learn practical digital skills using free project-based video curriculum. So I recommend it for students, and teachers certainly can use it in their classroom settings, but adult education as well. There's just really great topics here, all kinds of skills that you can learn the basics on. But what was just announced from them is a brand new lesson or a course, I guess is what you'd call it. And it's titled Build Healthy Digital Habits. So it's really speaking to these very things that Chapter 8 mm-hmm. of Faithfully Connected was, the health and wellness kind of side of things. And it does similar things to the lesson plans that we observed in the book, where they're having the students kind of track, keep a journal of their time and activities with technology and ends with creating kind of a healthy digital habits pledge or statement or whatever. And again, it is video tools. Each individual segment is maybe 3 minutes long, so it's easy to start and stop. And if you're logged in on your Google account, it'll keep up with how far you've progressed through the course. And I think it's definitely fitting that niche that you want to train students on. And I want to say this one in particular is suitable for middle and high school students. It says it'll take a total of 6 to 9 hours to complete.
Okay.
Along with the Google announcement, they shared a link to a blog post called Start a Conversation About Safe and Healthy Digital Habits that's geared toward parents. So maybe in your school newsletter, you talk about using this lesson and that parents could go through the lesson themselves easily. But then you could also share this blog post where they talk about how to have conversations with your children about the digital things that they're working with and learning more about it and talking about what amount of time and what kind of things you're using technology for. So great pointers.
Good resources.
In this article.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of that. And Google, does a nice job with the presentation of this and the organization. So
we used some of their applied digital skills things as faculty development for in-service days.
Oh, interesting.
Where we, the faculty watched the videos together and then talked through how it applied to our school. So that's another use for a really nice tool that Google has.
Okay. So keep that in mind for you folks that are in school faculties.
Excellent.
All right. Let's move on to community feedback. Since we're recording this a little early, we don't have a ton, but we do have some.
We do, and it actually comes from a very close friend of the Wells Tech podcast. That would be Gail Potratz. She wrote to me this week asking some questions about where to find information about live streaming broadcast in Wells. And I was able to point Gail to the online yearbook at yearbook.wells.net. There's a link right there on the main page of it, to the streaming list. And Martin, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is updated on a pretty regular basis, this list of streaming congregations.
Yeah, I think it's updated 3 times a week.
Excellent.
Just like with everything else.
And the second part of Gail's question was how to update her congregation's information if they've just started live streaming or they aren't listed in the list and they should be. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that is one of my favorite places, something near and dear to my heart, and that's My Wells Cloud. Called workers and church and school office personnel will be familiar with cloud.wells.net/me. And if you look at the church information form, there is a broadcast tab on that form. So this would be accessible by pastors and staff ministers serving a particular congregation and also through the congregation login that's used in the church office most often. On that broadcast tab, there's a place for reporting live streaming, and you can put in the URL and the times and days that it happens, and then that's what magically flows through the wonders of technology to this online yearbook page. So your congregation can be listed there with your worship services that you're live streaming. So thank you, Gail, for the question and for also for being a classroom technology correspondent for all those years. We miss you on Wells Tech.
We do. Mm-hmm. That reminded me, Sally, we have recently decided that we're going to run a My Wells Cloud bonus session at this summer's Wells EdTech Lead Conference, which you graciously accepted the responsibility for doing.
Well, you know, if it's near and dear to my heart, I'm happy to talk to people about it. So, yeah, if you are planning to be at Wells Education, Technology, and Leadership Summit, June 25th through 27th at the Wisconsin Dells Kalahari Resort, that's an extra added session that you can attend for free. No sign up needed, and we'll be taming My Wells Cloud. Looking forward to it.
And giveaway, right?
Oh, that's right. We decided we're going to give away a Kindle Paperwhite to one of the people who's there in the room that afternoon. So, yeah, watch for more details and your registration information, and we look forward to seeing you there.
And speaking of the conference and bonus content, we're going to be recording this podcast. We finally figured out what day and time. So on Wednesday at 4:45, we've got a room scheduled where we're going to do kind of a panel discussion of this podcast. So another reason to sign up for the conference, of course, which the early bird discount is rapid. Oh, actually, it's gone.
No, it goes through the end of May 1st.
That's right. So it by the time you listen to this, depending on when you listen to this, it may be very close. But also a giveaway we're going to be doing for the podcast, too, and that is a Amazon Echo.
Yeah. So all kinds of cool tech at EdTech Lead.
Yep. Got to be present to win. So sign up soon. All right. Do we have a video of the week?
We do. And it comes from the Google Applied Digital Skills playlist. They have a ton of videos available out on YouTube. So you can tap into those lessons through YouTube links easily. I found one called Create an Interactive Story, Introduction to Interactive Stories. And this is kind of like the Choose Your Own Adventure books of years past. And they'll teach you how to do that with Google Slides presentation. It's really fun. So just one example, though. We'll link to the whole playlist because there's lots of great content out there.
Very nice. We're going to do this again next week, and that is one of those episodes where we're going to bring in one of those education, technology, and leadership summit presenters, and this happens to be a relative of mine, teacher Jonathan Witte. He is at Luther High School in Onalaska, And he's doing a session on church and school promotional videos, telling your story to all audiences. I think a lot of congregations and schools are doing this and or want to do it and maybe are struggling with either the budget or the technology or just where to get started. So his sectional is, or we call them sectionals?
I think
yes.
We do. Good.
I got to get the terminology straight before the conference starts. But his sectional is going to help you out with that. So we're going to get a little bit of a tease when we talk to him. And so tune in next week for that.
I'm going to sign up to be the proctor in all of these rooms or whatever you call it, the tech person there, because he is the best to learn from for church and school promotional videos. Very excited to have him speaking on that topic.
Yep. Rachel, we were excited to have you join us today. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Anytime. Always a good time to talk with you.
All right. Blessings on the rest of the school year as well.
Thank you
to everybody listening. We appreciate your patronage and are really happy that you have decided to spend some time with us. Please join us again for episode 599. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.